Good day, patrons, and welcome to Info Drive. I don't know. We're trying different names out for the full show, Lamar.
Point to point.
Yeah.
Point to point.
Full spoiler of Infinity War. So I hope you are we live? Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, tell I won't promise not to tell anyone.
There's a lot of fighting.
Superman shows.
Oh. there was a part and I was like, they need Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
you know, it'd be perfect.
Nice
right
crossover, now. Right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, when Disney finally buys all of the movie studios, they can do crossovers like that.
Exactly.
Because that would I don't know.
That would destroy fans.
No, that would, I honestly think if they did that, that would actually jump the shark. And that could be a sign of everything.
Well, here's what I want to happen. I want DC owns rights to like He-Man. And that
the filmation,
yeah, like I would love to see, you know, a He-Man involved in DC. They can do it. I mean, it's not to say
no. They have DC. They've issued comics
by the power of Grayskull.
So this is my thing. I know there's a huge groundswell of fan. Like you got to cross, like you know, like have Mask meets G.I. Joe meets Transformers, and they're doing that with you know IDW. But the problem is there's a point where you just can't put everything together because then you end up like a Coldstone where it's just ice cream is just gross because you're literally trying to cram everything together that doesn't necessarily need to be together.
All right. I just canceled my plan to take you to Dairy Queen. That was going to take you after the show. You figured it out.
Only if he won.
I am lactose intolerant. So it's probably
best. That's probably why you're not tolerant.
I was going to take you anyway.
So Lamar, we want to come up with a name for the full show. Yesterday we ended up calling it De Drip. I don't think we'll ever do that again. That was Justin's idea.
Oh no, that sounds like it's on life support.
Yeah, well that confused people on Patreon. So we're asking for suggestions. The people who took issue with it yesterday didn't give any suggestions. I just want to say it's fine to say you're confused or that you know you'd prefer it be called something else. Only Craig offered an alternative. I'm not saying I like Craig's alternative. No disrespect, Craig, but at least he offered one, right? So we need ideas. Info Drive was one that Roger came up with, but then Roger, when I mentioned that, you said Point to Point was a good one.
Well, that was one that Sarah came up with.
Yeah.
And hi.
There she is.
What do you mean by whole show? Like, you mean just the,
for
this, whole...
this part that we're doing right now, all the way to the end of the post show.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna give it its own name. Now, Craig was like, "Why don't you just call it show with pre and post?"
How about BTS at DTNS?
Big time
behind,
show?
No, behind the scenes.
Oh, behind the scenes.
Yeah, I BTS see. At DTNS.
Kind of like big time show, actually.
That could work, too. Hey, what's the address for the IRC again? I'm sorry.
IRC.chatrealm.net.
I always ask because I always forget.
Lamar, I was in your neck of the woods on Saturday.
We're live, so don't say where. Why didn't you knock on the door?
Well, I didn't know what unit was yours, but I would have. Next time I will. Just come on in for milk and cookies.
And of course, anybody who does a quick Google search will know that Neck of the Woods is a live music venue in San Francisco.
Correct.
Which is, of course, where Lamar lives.
Where Lamar lives.
Absolutely.
And where I was.
Lamar actually lives offshore. He lives on a large barge.
Yeah. No, I mean, when I say neck of the woods, I mean an area of Los Angeles.
I gotcha. So Roger, you said I live on a barge. Are you calling my videos garbage?
Not all barges are hauled garbage.
Some barges are...
Some operate as...
Roger, you're really loud suddenly.
Am I?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. All these months, too low, too low.
I think you just got really close to your mic and you'd been sitting
How's
back.
This? No?
You did get really close.
Ross. I think you just could lean back. Just relax. It's all good.
Just relax.
Lean back, lean forward, lean back. It's like calisthenics in my chair.
This is our health program.
I don't know if it's just a woman thing or if it's an everyone thing, so let me know. But when someone says, you know what, Sarah, you should just relax, it makes me insane.
That's not a gender-linked trait, I don't think.
If you want me to fly off the handle, tell me to relax.
Yeah. No, it's that and...
Especially if you're a little bit bothered. If I'm a little worked up and someone's like, "Hey, relax," I'm like, "Oh no, you did not."
No, the other one is calm down. Okay, so just not, calm down a little.
Yeah, sure. Same idea, mm-hmm. Right?
Right. Yeah, I was having. Well, the reason I mentioned women is because I was having a conversation with a female friend the other day, and she was like, "The thing that gets me is when someone says you're being unreasonable."
Ooh.
And she's like, as soon as I hear that,
I show them
over.
What unreasonable looks like.
Right? You shall see unreasonable. So I'm like, it's like there are these certain things that are just triggers.
Actually, when anyone talks to me, it kind of triggers me in general.
Fair.
But I think the worst is when someone physically grabs me. Like they'll just like, no. Like, for example, security will grab my arm. So you can't go down that way. My immediate reaction is to form a fist and swing.
Yeah, you know, I hate it when security tackles me because I'm trying to get away from them. That really bugs me.
When I'm assaulted, I get really mad.
No, I'm not talking assault. They just like, you know, they put their arm out or something. Right. Like you touch,
well, happens
you
to
touch
you
my
lot.
Physical person. It's
maybe
like, you
shouldn't
know.
Be walking down the hall marked for authorized personnel only.
Well, maybe they should mark it for authorized personnel only, so it's visible to the public.
I also think this is not like a security thing.
See, now
but like,
I'm getting heated.
Just relax, Roger.
Nah! Relax.
You're being unreasonable.
Calm down.
But like, I also, you know, there are, you know, I'll hug and, you know, kiss on the cheek somebody that I, you know, friend or family or whatever. Like, that's not a problem. But there sometimes you ever kind of get a hug from somebody where you're like,
you know what?
Know
I've actually,
in
I've
the
actually.
Way that me want
seen
to hug
you react that way and say, so we're hugging.
I can see her saying it.
I just, it's a lot of germs, you know. I get the sentiment, but I'm like, half the time I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
We're doing this. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally see you've been doing that.
Yeah. No, I have friends be like, oh, Sarah hates to be touched. I'm like, that's not
that's
true.
That's not true.
It's a context thing.
Right.
You know?
Right. There's a place and a time.
Yeah.
And a person.
And a person that also plays into it.
I can't remember my IRC password, so I'm just going to be guest in there until I can remember what I put in there.
Everyone, Lamar will be guest.
I am guest.
Guest 26762.
Yes.
I'm going to refer you to you on the show that way too.
Please do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guest 26762.
That is my Bork designation.
And thank you, guest 26762, for joining us. Of course, youtube.com/Lamar Wilson if you want to see guest 26762.
See, that's one thing in Star Wars that doesn't make sense. Why do you refer to stormtroopers in a very kind of arbitrary and really hard to remember?
Because they're
like
not important.
Alphanumeric combination.
They aren't important. They mean nothing.
They are important. That's why they spend all that money on
they
the armor.
Mean nothing.
If they were truly just cannon fodder, they would just give them the black uniforms that they give everyone else.
Hey, Roger, they're not real.
Well, obviously,
also,
because
if
cannon their
fodder,
organization
you want
makes
your
no
cannon
sense.
Fodder to last as long as possible. You don't want to make it easier to get rid of your cannon fodder. It makes it more effective if you put armor around it, as long as it's cheap enough.
I don't know. It seems kind of an expensive way. And then you have all the specialized armor, right? You have the speeder bike armor, you got the snowtroopers, you got the TIE fighter apparatus setup, you got the AT-AT drivers. I mean, it's just a lot of specialization and money that you could have just gone and said, here's a couple of cotton outfits. You're going to die anyway. We'll
yeah,
make it inexpensive.
They're
price.
Not. I'm just saying, I'm sure the Empire did cost-benefit studies and said, look, you know, our
did
phalanx
they,
lasts
they,
longer.
They had really terrible money troubles, right? I mean,
did
you're
they?
Spending all that money. No, think about it.
Wait, no, yeah. Think about it as different than knowing they did.
Real quick, this is
I know,
super important.
Sorry, this is really important about Roger.
That's fine. Lamar, I just don't want to screw up on line 18, 16 that you're reading. WhatsApp is also updating privacy policy ahead of GDPR data download stuff.
Mm.
Is that something you want to throw in there? Would you like me to? Just don't want to trip you up.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just add a little sentence at the end.
Yep. I added the Instagram upload.
Yeah, I saw that. To...
Well, I tried to reset my password. It didn't work. I didn't know you had to put a slash. So, oh, yep. I forgot the slash. I know. It didn't say put a slash.
Well, it's the old Guns N' Roses rule.
Oh boy.
Do, 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 do. Always have a slash. Sweet child of mine.
I mean, what is it going to... Are they going to be the same way when they're like all 70 and 80?
Aren't like, they already?
No, they're 50. Old. They're in their 50s.
Well, so Guns N' Roses was hot when I was in junior high. And they were probably what? Early 20s?
Well, you're in junior high, so like, what, 10 years ago? I mean...
Totally, yeah. So yeah. I guess Guns N' Roses is really young.
This happens when Eileen talked about Guns N' Roses, too. She's like, yeah, I was in high school, freshman in high school. And I'm like, oh, man, I was a freshman in college. I remember the record being new and people playing it in the dorms the day I moved into the dorms, my freshman year in college.
Well, I mean, you know, but like in those days... That 5 years is like so.
No, I know. That's what what always gets me about Guns N' Roses, because people who are pretty much my age will often be like, I was in junior high, right? Like, oh man.
No, I just remember it well because I had like Guns N' Roses posters on my wall and stuff. I was a really big fan.
I do remember like moving into my dorm room and opening the window and hearing Sweet Child of Mine because somebody was moving into their dorm room and was blasting it.
We actually, when my mom was visiting a few weekends ago, it was on the radio, and she goes, boy, he had a voice, didn't he? I'm like, Mom, I think, you know.
You mean a good one or a bad one?
Like, maybe he'd like to go to a reunion show or something. Oh, no, it was November Rain. She loved that song.
Ah, the 80s, 90s good period. Stuff. Like, the 90s really didn't start for me until I left high school, which was, like, the fall of 92. No, the summer of 92. No, fall of 92.
Yeah.
Wow, I was a sophomore in high school then.
Well, I went to high school in 1990. So, yeah, you know,
I started
you could
in
arguably say that, you know, my formative years were the 90s. But I always call myself an 80s kid.
No, you're a 90s kid, sorry.
I'm a 90s kid.
I went to high school 84 through 88, heart of the 80s.
89 to 92.
91 to 95.
Oh, well, yeah. We're all pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
That's why we're all on the show.
Yeah, a friend, a good friend of mine, made a joke about like, well, I'm not going to do whatever it was till I'm like 40. And I was like, like I know what you mean, but like
I'm not gonna start.
And I said 8 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when people used to say like, yeah, I'm not gonna really start worrying about like going to the gym and working out until I hit 30. It's like, man, that
I have a good friend, I'm gonna call him Ryan Rushwood, who was very stressed about turning 40, and I was just like, and
try me a river.
Confiding in me, and we were talking about it. I was like, you know, that was like 6 years ago for me. Back when we were talking about it.
Yeah. But I also remember being in my, I don't know, in college, right? And being like, that guy's old. He's like 30.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, totally. You say these things.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Get
yeah.
to that age, oh, and yeah. then you're like, what in the heck?
I'm that guy.
Yeah. But like, it's also like, you're still young. Like,
are we
you don't
live
actually...
yet, Roger?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
Yeah, I was always the youngest in everything. I was youngest to graduate. I was youngest at different jobs, and then now I'm like the oldest on YouTube.
Yeah, no, I graduated high school at 17.
Yeah, same here.
Like I started my senior at 16, and yeah, and then like I just became.
You're late. You're a December.
I'm November.
I'm October.
I'm October
too. Boy.
So it's kind of weird because now I'm just the old guy.
I'm June. I actually don't belong on this show. I just realized. I went to high school entirely in the 80s. I was born in the summer.
Yeah, Gramps.
Yeah. You don't. He didn't graduate at 17 like the other cool kid. Yeah,
you know, go climb aboard your Volkswagen and everybody else did. And pack back into the 60s. Technically, you were born in the 60s.
Right? Technically, yeah.
Yes.
What do you mean, technically? You either well, were because or you were not.
The decade starts with the first year. Like, okay. You don't, like, year zero doesn't count, right? So it's one, two, three. And so the 10th year is technically the last year in a decade. So 1970 would be the last year of the 60s. Even though nobody.
Got it.
In practice, that's not true. That's just only numerically true.
Okay.
Yeah. I think almost across the board, if you were like, you know, I was born in the 60s in 1970. People would be like,
well, this was the big thing when the millennium happened. People were like, it actually, the 21st century doesn't begin until next year. And everybody's like, great, you have a fun party next year then.
Right.
We're going to celebrate now.
Yeah, Prince told us a party now. So we're
still. Yeah, exactly.
I still have that shirt from Tech TV or ZDTV.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It is news time on Point to Point. Figure that out later. Here we go. 3, 2.
Do you enjoy hearing the tech news delivered by smart, informed people? Me too. Learn more about how you can support this show at dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, April 24th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
Also in Los Angeles at Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And also in Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
Are you in Los Angeles, producer Roger Chang?
I'm in Los Angeles adjacent.
You're in the county.
Yes.
So, sure. All right. So,
county folks.
We are inside the bubble. We're inside the freeway bubble here. We're going to acknowledge that.
Solidarity, everybody.
And we have the best LA weather county. Ever.
The key to seeing outside the bubble is acknowledging that it's there.
That's how you escape it, too.
That's right.
Right.
Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Amazon announced a new service that'll let the couriers deliver Amazon Prime orders to the trunk of certain cars in 37 cities in the U.S. to Prime members. I know what you're thinking. And we're going to talk about a lot of those things that you're thinking a little bit later in the show.
Yes, God, we are. Instagram is rolling out a new data download tool to users accessible through the app's privacy settings, thank God, to let users export their photos, videos, stories, profile info, comments, and messages. The new tool allows Instagram to comply with the data portability rule in European Union's GDPR privacy law that goes into effect May 25th. Instagram users can also upload multiple photos and videos at once. WhatsApp announced it's also adding a data download tool.
U.S. Supreme Court ruled 7-2 Tuesday that the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office's review procedure called inter partes is constitutional. This is the review that Congress made possible that allows the USPTO to reconsider a patent grant without making the parties spend the money fighting it out in federal court.
The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission said Tuesday that Altaba, you might recall, that's the part of Yahoo that Verizon did not buy, has agreed to pay $35 million to settle charges that Yahoo did not disclose its December 24 data breach to investors.
All right, we got a couple of companies that are scrambling to show you that they are working hard to get bad stuff off their platform. Who's the first one, Lamar?
Yeah, the first one is good old YouTube. So YouTube issued its first quarterly moderation report saying it removed 8.3 million videos between October and December last year for violating community guidelines. Now, 6.7 million of them were flagged for review by machine, and 76 of those were removed before getting any views. So, you know, been on YouTube almost 10 years myself. You're on YouTube as well. Matter of fact, we're on YouTube right now. Hi. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I like the transparency. YouTube and Google have always been mysterious about what their policies were for removing the guidelines. We never had a report like this. So I, for one, just as a person who is on here every day, it's glad to see, you know, that, hey, they're doing something. But then here's why they're doing it. You know, here's why they're removing. I've never had a video removed, but in the last month, I've had two that were like sent to manual review. And I asked my YouTube rep, what's you know, I'm pretty family friendly. What's manual review? And it's like, oh, it's people who are periodically just picking videos to just make sure that everything's good.
The TSA. Hey, yeah. A random search thing. Hey, it's kind of interesting,
hey buddy,
too.
Come over here. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, too, that 76% of these videos were removed by a machine before getting posted. Yeah. So that whole, like, your video is processing makes a little bit more sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, what YouTube's trying to say here is, sure, it's easy to look at the millions and millions of views or videos on YouTube, find the one we missed, and say YouTube isn't doing enough. We're trying to show that we're making our best effort. There's a lot of videos out there. You can decide whether that's good enough, but these are good numbers to look at and say, like, all right, so they are catching millions of videos that shouldn't be up there. You can then take that into account when you decide if you think they're doing well enough or not.
Yeah.
They constantly demonetize YouTube videos for DTNS, which we then have to send a manual review, which then get remonetized, except once. And that was the time that we discussed the shooting at the YouTube campus. Now, that might be a legitimate reason to demonetize, because very often on newscasts, if they're covering a tragedy or a disaster, they don't run commercials, partly because they don't want to look crass like they're monetizing a tragedy, but also sometimes advertisers are like, yeah, I don't want to be around that. I don't want to be around that coverage. So it's that aspect of it too.
Well, speaking of community standards, Facebook released an updated version of its community standards guidelines to users so they can better understand how content moderators handle objectionable material. Here's an example. The definition of harassment, Facebook now says, means users can't send a message that calls for death, serious disease or disability, or physical harm, or claims that a victim of a violent tragedy might be lying about being a victim. This is not something that Facebook disclosed before that its actual human moderators were looking at. Users previously could only request an appeal if their Facebook profile page or group was taken down altogether. Now that's changed. They can challenge the removal of individual posts of content. Users can also now appeal Facebook's decision to preserve content that a user reports as a violation of the company's rules.
So this is interesting, Sarah. So they're saying that, okay, so if let's say I was Facebook friends with you, and I said, and just excuse this, because I would never say this. I say, I hope you die. Will that never get to you with this?
This is messages posted on Facebook. I don't know that this applies to Messenger.
Okay, that was the confusion.
That is confusing for people. But, that said, all of this has the same problem, which is, well, what about actual jokes? What about a situation where there was a victim who was taking advantage of a violent tragedy to pretend and get something out of it? Not the opposite, which we've seen recently, where people were trying to say that actual victims weren't. You know, who draws the line? And so part of this very complex process is Facebook saying, here's the guidelines we use.
Right.
But the other part of it is, how are they actually executed? Of the 10,000 people that Facebook now employs to do this, where do they draw these lines? It's good to know where they're supposed to be drawing the lines, but you also have to watch this side of it. It's a huge nightmare for Facebook, because no matter which way they lean, there's going to be a side that says, you're suppressing our speech.
Yeah, because I just put this in the IRC chat. Like, who determines what's funny? Like, you know, like if you're making a joke and just it's funny to you, it might not be funny to others, or vice versa. So humor is always subjective like that. So it's going to run into problems.
Somebody saying something insulting on purpose and then trying to say, "Oh, yeah, I was just joking," to get out of it, right? To avoid whatever.
Well, and it's important that Facebook, they're not saying, "Hey, we've changed," what we define as harassment. They're just saying, "Here's what we're going to look at, and you should know this."
Yeah.
And we're going to make this publicly available so that everybody has more information.
No, that's a really good point. They're not changing their policy. They're not saying we're doing anything different. They're saying this is what it is. This is what the people who've been moderating Facebook recently have been working off of. Catherine Temkin and her team at Reswitched published an exploit chain that they're calling Fusée Gelée. It's an exploit of the
like ice cream.
I know, right? So the delicious exploit for the NVIDIA Tegra X1 based systems. The most famous NVIDIA Tegra X1 based system is the Nintendo Switch. Now, an improperly coded USB control procedure in the Tegra can allow for circumvention of lockout operations that protect the boot ROM during USB recovery mode. The method requires shorting out a pin on the right Joy-Con connector. This is not an easy thing for everyone to take advantage of. It's not terribly sophisticated if you know what you're doing, though. There's a couple of ways to do that short out. And it takes advantage of the fact that you want your boot ROM to be unchangeable. So they don't change the boot ROM. They just are able to run arbitrary code because they can circumvent the lockout. And it's not going to be able to be patched because the boot ROM is designed not to be modifiable. They can't go into the boot ROM and change the flaw now because they protected the boot ROM from being changed, which you want to do. And this exploit got around it. Now, the exploit is probably going to be used almost entirely for running unauthorized code. So yes, it could be used for game piracy. It could also be used for homebrew stuff and people cracking the switch to do cool things with it, as well as illegal things. There's also the likelihood of somebody doing something bad, which is why Temkin and her team made this public. And there are a few other teams have now come forward and say, yeah, we actually found the same vulnerability. We weren't at the end of our 90 days yet, so we hadn't made it public yet. But now that she has, we're going to make our findings public as well.
Yeah, I was reading that this really terrifies Nintendo. And it's one of the reasons they haven't done any kind of, save your game to the cloud or save your game, to SD card. They're very archaic when it comes to their segment things, because they're legit terrified about this kind of scenario. And now they have this kind of scenario. So, do they just say, hey, let's just give everybody this? As a Nintendo user, that's what I'm wondering. You're just going to say, hey, let's just do the services that PlayStation and Xbox does and hope for the best? Or do they panic with this and make it even harder for us to do basic things on the Switch?
Yeah, and Ebarch points out that there are ways to do signed boot ROMs that you can change them. So I'd be real curious if there's absolutely no way to do this. It may just be costly to update it. And honestly, it may not be worth updating.
Probably not.
But it's certainly not an easy patch like some vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Spotify announced a new free version of its mobile app, which now recommends music to users on the fly. Previously, the free tier limited users to shuffle. Now, with the new version, users can listen on demand to whatever song they want as many times as they want, as long as those songs appear on one of the 15 personalized discovery playlists like Daily Mix, Discover Weekly, Release Radar, or Today's Top Hits. So,
People love Spotify Discover Weekly. That's like a beloved playlist. I am not a Spotify user. I was not aware that on the free tier, which I know is going to have to be limited in some sense, because Apple Music, which I pay for, is $10 a month. I was not aware that you couldn't listen to a specific song as many times as you wanted.
Yeah. You can make a playlist, but you can only listen to it on shuffle. So you can't control which songs come up.
Like a Pandora type thing.
It's a little bit more of a Pandora thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with a tiny bit more control. Now what they're saying is, all right, if we put the song on a playlist, because we're going to pretend we're radio, then you can play it as many times as you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. British trip-hop act Massive Attack. We were talking earlier about feeling old. Buckle up, everybody. This was in the pre-show. Is celebrating the 20th anniversary of their album Mezzanine. Man, that makes me feel old. By having it preserved in DNA. It's really cool. The medium will actually have an estimated lifespan of hundreds to thousands of years versus decades expected from CDs. Scientists at the Functional Materials Laboratory at ETH Zurich University will do the encoding. Opus Music Compression will get the album down to 15 megabytes, which will then be split into 920,000 fragments, each encoded in a DNA strand that will be stored in 5,000 nanometer scale glass beads.
Appropriate name, be a massive attack on someone's system to have this music. That's all I had. I'm sorry, guys. It's not funny. I try it.
The fact that they're doing this is incredible. I've never heard of such a thing. It's really cool. I also happen to, I had this album. I listened to it really? A lot a long time
ago. Did you have it on glass beads, though?
I didn't. No,
yeah,
I had
so now you got to get the reissue.
I had it on CD, and I haven't seen that CD in a while. I think I probably sold it back to Amoeba Music.
It's probably
at
degraded
some point,
by now
maybe
after 20 years.
Maybe it wouldn't even be alive anymore because it's 20 years old. So.
Oh, I love Amoeba.
Huh. Yeah, I know. But yeah, it's this is... it's kind of gimmicky, right? But it's pretty cool that you can just achieve this.
It's gimmicky for science. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like gimmicky in like, hey, let's sell a bunch of glass bead versions of our 20-year-old album. Like, that's
not
why.
It's also not gimmicky in the sense that this is actually going to preserve, you know, a piece of media for potentially thousands of years.
Well, it will.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. That's not the gimmick.
No, the gimmick is for the people who are developing DNA as a preservation storage system to say, well, okay, we could store our paper that describes how to do this, but nobody's going to care about that. Let's get Massive Attack on board, and then people will know about the technology that we're developing and the ability to store in DNA. So if I understand it right, what they're doing is instead of zeros and ones, which is what you would put in a digital file on a CD, right, they're using, you know, GABH, the parts of the DNA to encode the information, and then they freeze those strands in glass so that they don't break down, but they're able to be read through the transparent glass.
So I want my videos to be preserved like this on Google checkout one day, you know, or the takeout, where, you know, 1,000 years from now, people can say, wow, that guy, they weren't ready for him.
ATCG, not GABA. I said GABA because I was thinking proteins for some reason.
Okay, now I'm hungry. All right.
GABA also, protein, like, make you hungry?
Also, yes, thousands of years from now, are there going to be any humans?
Well, there won't be if we are not able to store information long enough to recover from the inevitable apocalypse.
Not exactly. Saying there aren't going to be, but are there going to be?
Well, just in case.
Yeah, hard to know.
We'll be able to watch.
Won't matter.
Maybe the dinosaurs will come back and listen to it.
Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines on the Amazon Echo, the Google Home, the Anchor app, and, of course, at DailyTechHeadlines.com. So Amazon announced a new service. We mentioned it at the top of the show, giving couriers access to your car in partnership with General Motors and Volvo, rolling out to 37 cities for Amazon Prime members who, so you have to be in the city, you have to be an Amazon Prime member, and you have to own a GM or a Volvo. That is model year 2015 or newer with an active OnStar or Volvo OnCall account. Now, sources telling The Verge that Amazon signed a 2-year contract with both GM and Volvo. The company says it plans to add other brands over time, but GM and Volvo are kind of advanced in this notion of we have access to your car in case of emergency or if you lose your keys. Yep. So Amazon can tap into this securely. Amazon doesn't have to know anything about the cars. You just associate your OnStar or your Volvo account with the Amazon Key app. And then the Amazon delivery person says, okay, I'm at the car I'm supposed to deliver the package to. Let me in. GM and Volvo take on the responsibility of making sure, okay, that really is an Amazon delivery person. This person did order this. They have associated their account. Great, we'll unlock the car. And they make sure that that trunk is closed or that door to the pickup is closed and locked before they release the delivery person to be able to make their next delivery.
It still sounds, when I read this early this morning, it still sounds like an April Fool's joke. Like, did you watch the video that they had? Like it was so cheesy and so way too upbeat about these people being so happy.
Well, they got people in the beta test. Like,
I don't
make
know.
It seem shady and weird.
It was like overly happy, and it just seemed like this is April Fool's. They should have released it on April Fool's. And then the next day, we're like, hey, guys, that was actually real. I would have bought that a little bit better.
See, but if it hadn't been portrait videos, you wouldn't have believed it. You're like, these aren't real beta testers.
I mean, there are some limitations because my first reaction was like, holy crap, I have so much junk in my trunk. And that I mean that literally in my car trunk.
I'm just curious what you'll be doing with that.
Well, I'm going to get rid of it. Well, first of all, I don't have a GM
clean,
or a
take it to Salvation Army
vehicle. Right. But yeah, there are a lot of things in my trunk that would make putting a package in my trunk difficult. That said, packages that weigh over 50 pounds are, you know, a certain size. If they require a signature, or if they're from a third party seller, which a lot of Amazon packages are not eligible at this time. So this is a limited rollout for Prime members.
Yeah, there was a person I saw on Twitter that was like, hey, I'm a third party, before they said it was third party, so they didn't read the article. They're like, I'm a third party seller and I sell makeup. I don't want that going to a hot car. Can I get, you know, opt out of this? And so that, you know, that's one of the answers right there. And they will have to tackle some of those things. What's your groceries if you did Amazon Fresh?
Amazon Fresh is going to be part of this. You're right. That's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want my ice cream sitting in the back of my F-150 melting.
I've got a friend who's got a car parked, and I have like a tandem spot. I've got two spots, you know, technically, but I know all my neighbors, and there's a friend of mine who's parking his car in there right now. And, you know, he said to me the other day, one of your neighbors stopped me and asked me what I was doing there and the whole thing. You know, it's like neighborhood watch, right? You know, we're all looking out for each other. Hey, I don't know you. What are you doing there? Mm-hmm. And you can only imagine what, you know, somebody in someone's trunk who like doesn't really seem like they're supposed to be there or aren't recognized, even if they're wearing the right stuff, is going to confuse people.
And a lot of them are Amazon logistics, so they're not wearing the right stuff. They're wearing regular clothes. So you imagine a car, a shady looking
unmarked
car.
Van,
or their own car, because a lot of people use their own cars and pull up and opening your trunk. I mean, it just looks somebody can get hurt. So like they may have to have some kind of, you know, a uniform or something on. Just
that's
to,
the kind of thing that, that does go away as people get used to it. Like, oh, that's a delivery person. But you're right. You know, there'll be misunderstandings because this is not a normal thing.
But then when everyone gets used to it and then you figure out how to spoof the outfit, then you got robbers running amok.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, everybody, I know Stoic Squirrel said it and he just said it for everybody else, which is, you know, people break into cars, right? Yeah. I don't like to open my trunk in a public parking lot and put things in it. Because, you know, I'm worried somebody's going to see like, oh, he put some cool stuff in there. Let's go, you know, let's see what it was.
Right. It's also not like super easy to get into someone's trunk. I mean, well, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
Exactly.
But it's not like someone's like, ooh.
And the chances are low. As paranoid as I may be about it, the chances are low. And they're still lower than someone leaving a package outside your door that anyone could just walk up and take versus having to break into a trunk. So.
What do you think of this versus the, hey, I'm going to open your house and leave? That's part of Amazon Key as well, right?
I don't want anybody in my house. In the trunk of my car, sorry, it's messy, but like that, yeah, I could deal with that. Mm-hmm. You know, if I eventually had a car model where I could take advantage of this, sure, I would.
Yeah.
In my house, no. I don't like that idea at all.
I would rather them, and they're doing a good job of it, and if you're in a like major city, but I would rather them push more of the Amazon lockers, you know, they have some of them at 7-Elevens and things. And I would like to see roll out of more of those versus this idea, you know, because I have a UPS store, so I could throw my stuff there. But, you know, they're kind of expensive. So,
well, I mean, there's a Whole Foods near me that I go to all the time anyway. They have Amazon lockers and lots of people use them. It's super convenient because I know I'm going there at least once a week.
Yeah. And it's not an either or. If you feel more comfortable using the locker, they still have the lockers, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is just, hey, if the lockers aren't convenient for you and you have a car and you've thought to yourself, wow, I wish they could just leave it in the car, then here you go. I'm curious how many of those people there are.
I am too.
Because if I'm at work, like one of the ways this works is they geofence it where your car is, right? They're able to track it through OnStar, for instance, or Volvo. And they say, look, it has to be within a certain radius of one of your Amazon delivery addresses. And most people have home and work, right, as their Amazon delivery addresses.
Yep.
So it has to be home or work. I could see where like, oh, I left the car at home. I feel better about you putting it in the trunk of the car than leaving it on my porch. Let's see that scenario. I can't imagine at work that I'd feel better with it being in the parking lot of my work
versus in a
at the front desk or with the mail room or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And then what do you do for apartment buildings that have a parking lot trying to find the car? You know, that could be pretty crazy too.
I mean, Sarah, I could see this working for you sometimes if you haven't taken your car and maybe you're out. Because you've had problems with packages making it to you because you're not there to sign for them, so maybe that's better. I don't know.
But you can't have a package that has to be signed for in this program either.
Damn
so it doesn't really fix the
yeah,
problem
it doesn't fix that problem
that
at all, does it?
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Right. However, you know, beginning stages. I don't know. I appreciate
it's a start. It's something.
You know, they're thinking outside the trunk.
Yeah, I don't mean to, you know, condemn Amazon for trying something new.
No, this
is interesting, and it might work great for certain people in certain circumstances.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you got to start somewhere. I mean, if this is something that owners of, you know, the cars that fit into the model that are also Prime subscribers are like, this is awesome. You know, like it just changes everything. We love this.
Yeah,
by the way, you'll see a wider rollout.
Yeah, there are people who love the in-home one. I've seen people like, oh, yeah, I love, you know, they don't have pets and things they're going
to
run out. So
I don't know anybody who's using it yet. I'd love to talk to somebody about that. Yeah.
I keep my car in my garage. I know that I'm unusual in that respect, but yeah. Well, we don't fill our garage with other things. We put a car in it.
My mom parks her car.
So this is not going to work for that.
It's not that weird.
I'm not going to let him in my garage. I guess if I was going to let him in my garage, I'd just let him in the house, right? At that point, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right.
I mean, I don't know. I guess there's fewer things in the garage, but still. Hey, thanks everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and tell us what you would do as far as this Amazon delivery, either there or at facebook.com/group/dailytechnewsshow. What is the mail today?
Chip from Boston.
I've talked to that ever.
That was very robotic of you. Like an Amazon robot. I see what you're doing. Chip from Boston, who says he works at a TV station, says, I was watching TV Sunday night. I have to watch this stuff. I noticed an ad for Snapchat during primetime on ABC, during America's Funniest Home Videos, and then again during American Idol. I was wondering, what do you guys think about this whole new media company running ads on old media? Is this a ploy to pull in older users? Now, for you know, my first reaction was like, well, I mean, think about all the YouTube TV ads that we saw during the Super Bowl. But then when I thought of America's Funniest Home Videos, I don't know offhand what the demo for that is, but I assume it skews older.
It's older.
You know, it's like, what is the point of a Snap ad during that time slot on ABC?
I mean, American Idol seems core, right? They're just, that's a bunch of folks who are using Snap probably watching that in an aspirational way. I'm going to be on American Idol. American Idol runs things on Snap, so that makes sense. But America's Funniest Home Videos, I'm like, maybe it was just run of sight. showed up. I don't know.
I think ploy, and no offense to the person, I think the word ploy sounds a little negative. I think there's so many people that the TV viewing audience who still is really not on internet and on apps is astronomically huge. I mean, there's no parity of that yet. So Snapchat needs new fresh blood.
I wrote back to Chip and I said, look, I think it's more significant that it's Snap doing it. Not that it's new media. I've seen Twitter ads on TV. I've seen Facebook ads on TV. Mm-hmm. It's that Snap has gotten to the point where they're like, worth spending some TV money to try to build an audience.
Well, and I think that it points to, sure, you know, if you're trying to build your older audience, how are you going to get those people?
Where
are those people spending time? You know, are you bottoming out kind of in, you know, the younger realm?
Beef in our chat room points that out. Of course, you can upload clips through Snapchat for America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, okay. There
makes,
it is.
Makes perfect sense. Even if the there demo's is a little off.
Okay.
See, I haven't watched that show in a really long
time.
Yeah,
so they want to be part of the show.
Perfect there integration. You go. Okay. It's integration that we just didn't even get. Chip, you should know better. You work at a TV station.
Also, it's America's Funniest Videos, according to Beef. Not home videos anymore.
Oh, because, right. It's like the idea of home video is antiquated, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Keeping like, us honest, Beef.
You're not at home. You're out and about. Got another email real quick from Dave who said, thinking of Amazon home robots and what they would be best for, surely picking up dog poo would be the killer app here.
Oh man, Dave, you're speaking to the choir there. Yeah, if that thing can roll on uneven ground, that's coming out with me morning and night with the dogs. Like, yeah.
Well, that's also, I mean, yeah, assuming that your dog is not doing that his or her business in the house, that's a whole other thing.
Oh gosh, no. I'm just talking about I go out in the morning with the dogs in the backyard. I go out in the evening with the dogs in the backyard, and they do their business. A robot picking it up would be great.
Yeah, yep. Nobody wants to do that. Yeah. Like that, probably no one in the whole world is like, no, I like it. I enjoy that.
Really, it's one of my favorite things.
They can clean my cat's litter box. I will buy one for any amount of money.
I used to have a neighbor who would come out and talk to me. She was great. I loved her. But she would come out and talk to me and be like, how's it going? I'm like, I'm picking up dog poop. How do you think it's going?
Sarah, you've got to get a litter robot, by the way. I'll tell you about them after the show.
Oh, please do.
They are great. Yes.
Please do. Yeah. Thank you. I can't wait. Also, thank you for being on the show in general. It's great to have you on the show more regularly, Lamar Wilson. Tell folks where they can keep up with everything else that you do.
Yeah, so I'm at Lamar Wilson pretty much everywhere. I do YouTube videos unboxing and showcasing cool products, mostly in the gaming realm. This week, we'll be doing some Lego and kind of geek hauls unboxing. I unboxed the Nintendo Labo, and that was a thing that I did. I'll just say that. It is a product that exists.
Did you build anything with it yet?
No. I built this the controller holder.
And the demo thing, right?
That was my limit. I was like, I looked at all that cardboard. I'm like, I'm not doing all this. Somebody took someone 9 hours on a live stream.
Tom said just last week that it was so easy.
It was super easy. The perforations are.
Well, see, Tom is from a different breed. You know, back in the 80s.
He's an old gen. Watches America's Funniest Home Videos.
He had to fold cardboard for all his toys when he was a child.
Exactly.
10 miles in the snow.
Awesome. Thanks everybody for supporting us on Patreon. Our goal every month is to get at least one more patron than last month. And the more we get, the crazier we feel. And we're going to do something at the end of this month to celebrate. So right now, I think we're about 9. Past couple days, we've been 9 more patrons than last month, but let's see how high we can get that.
That's awesome.
At patreon.com/DTNS. Also, new stuff coming to the store, dailytechnewsshow.com/store. So keep that in your head, and we'll let you know when the new stuff is there.
Really excited for the new stuff. You guys are going to like it too. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 2030 UTC. We'd love for you to join us live if you can. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Chris Mancini from Comedy Film Nerds. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
So Amazon keys your car or junk in your trunk are the things they have to be.
I honestly have junk in my car's trunk.
Yes. No, the number Mostly one is Amazon's junk in your trunk.
Just lean back.
Lean back.
Real loud.
Lean back.
I don't understand. I'm literally at the same spot.
Now you sound fine.
I hear a tiny hiss. Is it just me? Well, now I hear a lot more. No, just in general, it's something that I don't normally hear. Nobody else hears that?
Yeah.
I actually do hear that now.
Yeah. It's not like really, I don't know.
Let me mute my mic, see if you hear it now.
I do.
So it's not me. Yeah. It's calming.
Yeah. No, I like it.
It doesn't bother me. It's just something that I... Okay.
Yeah,
yep, it's you.
It's
you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just ambient noise from Roger then.
Yeah.
Roger's just got mic issues.
That's why you need to be in LA.
It's because of the roofers.
I was going to say, Roger has a whole new roof being put above him right now. It's no surprise that there's
It's a wonder he's on the show at all with all that racket.
Roger, you were trying to say something about the title of the show, I think.
I think it was Amazon's junk in your trunk was at the top.
That's a great one. That's
pretty good, yeah.
Unless you want prime junk in your trunk.
No, that other one's good.
No. Nobody knows what prime junk is.
Yeah,
What's prime junk?
Just understand, you're going to get a whole different audience with that title. Just be prepared.
It's about time we expanded. They're going to be real disappointed.
Right, yeah. We're branching out. We're going to, you know, start advertising on ABC. Just you wait.
On America's Funniest Sunday Digital Videos.
It'll be DTNS After Dark.
Isn't that funny that, first of all, that Bob Saget is no longer part of it because, you know, he was a delightfully bad part of it. The fact that it's not called America's Funniest Home Videos anymore.
Right.
And the fact that it's on.
Right. The most confounding part. Because I remember thinking in the mid-2000s, watching YouTube saying, well, this is the end of America's Funniest Home Videos, right? Because everybody can just watch whatever, all the funny cat videos they want all day long. But apparently
right.
not.
Right. Yeah.
I was wrong.
It's curated content.
In fact, it was YouTube before YouTube.
Well, that was my point, yeah. And that when YouTube came along, you wouldn't need it anymore. But it turns out you do.
Mm-hmm. So Sarah, you've never seen the Little Robot? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll try to get a link. Just type in Little Robot. Like, so I've had a cat years ago, and it's this round litter box, and you know, you put the litter in there. Cat goes in, does his business, walks out, and then in about 5 to 7 minutes after it's kind of clumped up, it automatically spins, and then it filters out the litter. The stuff clumps and goes to the bottom bin, and then it resets, and the litter is nice and fresh. And it,
so it's not a robot. It's an electronic litter.
Yeah, and you clean that
assumed that it was like a robot.
Oh, no. And then you take out the bottom thing, maybe depending on how many cats you have, maybe once or twice a week, and it's already in the bag. And then you just it's the easiest thing. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, for a tech person,
they have healthy. I don't know.
Where do you have space to put that?
The litter box?
Look at the size of that thing.
You definitely they're cramming on that one couch.
We had to sell our normal sized couch to make room for this.
That's but you guys, look how happy that family is.
She's
with
not happy. She's
robot.
In pain because it's such a
she's
small
not
couch.
In pain.
She's in pain because she has no room on the couch. She's crying.
I'm being crushed by the cat.
Yeah, it's like when you get tickled.
I miss our old
I'm
couch.
I'm laughing because I'm having fun. You know, that could... My litter box is currently sort of like in a closet. I don't know.
You have to plug this up. But I tell you, it's amazing. You don't have to touch anything. Yeah.
Mm. Dude, you know what? Sam and Lucy would love this.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that's true, but I would love that.
If I ever get cats again, it's number one what I'm going to get for sure.
Well, okay. I should figure out the dimensions.
When you have a fish tank, you don't need to change your litter box.
Ah, yeah. True.
Wait.
I think my head went where yours did, Lamar, which is like... No, yeah. The cat's going in the fish tank is really unsanitary.
Exactly what I was thinking. I was like, wait, where is he going?
And then I realized what Roger was saying is you have fish. Then you yeah,
right.
Got it.
Yeah.
Instead of cats.
Fish are boring. That's, yes, the white squirrel.
Fish are lame.
Fish are lame. Oh, man, I haven't thought about that in a while.
Me either.
I have a friend who has a rather large fish tank, and she... I don't remember the kind of fish that is like the, you know, like sort of like the, you know, the, I don't know, the mean fish. But she'll buy fish because she knows that the mean fish will eat the other fish. And it's not even really like for food. It's like a predatory thing.
Well,
and
great.
I'm like, I cannot imagine that just being like something that happens in your living room as you're like casually trying to wind down after a long day.
If you want to play it being like a little Roman... dictator, and you have your gladiatorial games, you can have it with the fish tank.
So stressful. I would never.
And you
I
know
never
what?
Do
you
that.
Get a little digital music player, attach to some smart speaker, and have it play the fight sequence music from the original Star Trek. Dun, 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 and the fish are tagged.
But it's like, oh, those poor little fish. You know, they're just being plopped into their death.
And then there was.
And you watch it? There's something up with that, man.
I want to put some salmon in my air fryer tonight now.
I made salmon last night.
Oh, did you? Do you have an air fryer?
I did. No.
Oh. I air fry everything. We need to do a whole show on air fryers because I am probably the biggest male fan of this. Like, I'm part of a Facebook group. It's all women. It's hilarious. But they love that I'm there. that
Wait,
I'm talking
so
about air fryers.
This is like a thing that women should know about and I don't. What's an air fryer?
Well, it's stereotypical if you like the women should be cooking. Like anybody could. Anybody could.
But
have
what
one.
Is it?
So
what
it's like a convection type of oven. So it's.
Oh, okay.
It's air that's circulating.
My father-in-law has one, by the way. Just.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not for women.
Right.
But in the Facebook group, that's just all that. that's there.
It just happens to be.
Yeah. It's, well, yeah. Yeah. And so when they're like, ooh, a guy's here.
Wait, how many people are in this Facebook group?
Oh, thousands.
Thousands?
Multiple thousands.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I fry a lot of stuff, but just like I'm all cast iron all the time.
Well, see, this is no oil, little to no oil, and it's still frying it. Like I said,
hence the air. Got it.
Yeah, I do steak like in there, 400 degrees, 16 minutes. I never turn it. It comes out perfect. Like literally, I never thought a New York strip would be taste like a restaurant style.
How is it frying? That's the part I never quite understood.
Yeah,
I mean, I get the convection heating.
The air is circulating it.
Like, why wouldn't it just be air broiling?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I knew what tech people do probably like, but air frying sounds cooler.
All right.
Can you bread things?
Will breading work with that?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I would say probably consistency wouldn't be as good as if you dipped it in vegetable oil, obviously, because all vegetable oil is doing is flash, kind of keeping it together.
Yeah, right.
There are recipes that people do it and they.
Well, I always use egg in my breading.
Yeah, that's what you put the same things and it fries it up. Yeah, because it's not the oil that's making it its consistency and taste. When you fry it, that's just, you know, what's heating it up. But the air is kind of doing the same thing. I've been nothing but impressed. I'm cooking it almost every day.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'd love to give it a try. I always like to try a new method of something that I'm kind of like, I know how to do it, but
I'm also part of an Instapot group, too.
I want see that's the thing. I want to try it, but I have so many cooking implements that are like, oh, here's the George Foreman grill that we no longer use.
Right.
Oh, here's the blah, blah, blah we no longer
use. No, exactly. I got rid of my George Foreman because of this stuff.
You knock out the fat.
Yeah, it does just drip down to the bottom. It's very easy to clean.
I find the George Foreman to be a pain in the ass to clean.
I don't want to get rid of fat.
No, I
want the oil. I want the fat.
Well, see, I've been eating more saturated fat and vegetables, and I'm dropping weight.
I'm also like, I'm always trying to gain weight because I'm, you know, just a.
Well, fat won't make you gain weight. Just eat a whole bunch of carbs. That'll do it.
Well, but it doesn't help either. Okay. But what I'm saying is there's no reason for me to take out delicious fat from anything. You know, doesn't help me. Yeah. I want it to stay.
Consider an air fryer. You know, one day I'll have you all over and we'll do an air fryer party. And I'll
is an air fryer the same thing as a convection?
It's not
oven?
The same. I don't know. I know there is a difference.
A superheated oven with a fan that blows the air around.
Yeah, so this is a fan at the top that's pushing the air down, and then it's circulating. So it's getting both sides of the meat or whatever you have. It is similar. I actually don't know what the exact difference is.
Maybe I should go with just a double boiler.
Now you're super low in volume, Roger. I think you turned yourself down too far.
He was contemplating life there.
I haven't touched it. What about a pressure? How about the pressure cooker? I'll just go with the pressure cooker.
I have the Instapot, and it's
I
like
want to 15. Do the one where the guy with the really bad hair crams all the frozen food and the cuts of meat, and then 30 minutes later,
voila,
he has a complete meal.
Yeah.
I pressure and it's just cook. Like straight out of like the freezer.
Yeah, well, yeah,
like
he doesn't even take it out of the package. He shoves it with the plastic and everything, and it's all done.
Oh, speaking of packages, so I was at Whole Foods. As I tend to do the other day, and I realized I'm out of dishwasher detergent. I usually like to get like the good stuff, the Cascade that Whole Foods doesn't have. But I was like, I'm already here. I'll just, you know, get whatever. So I got one of their little little pods that you know they're like in a plastic thing, but you're not supposed to take the detergent out of the plastic. You're supposed to put it.
Oh yeah, that's all I use.
Encased in plastic into your dishwasher, and I was like. Whatever.
It's just cellulose. Yeah.
So you've never used the pods before?
Not the, you know, like it was like the Whole Foods 365 brand.
Okay.
You know, it didn't clean anything.
That's how you know it's organic.
Yes.
I mean, there are certain things where you're like, I want the chemicals.
Yeah.
I really do. And the dishwasher is one of those places.
The best
like,
way to clean
I looked at all my stuff last night and it was like, it wasn't even sort of clean. It was a waste.
Best dishwasher I ever used is these two right here. It's a lot of scrubbing. It's weird because I have yet to find any dishwasher or dishwasher soap that can compare to two arms of just scrubbing.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm a single person who lives alone, and it's very nice to have a dishwasher.
Yeah.
But I've also not had one, and it's like really easy to do your own dishes.
It is. You know but what it's, I mean? It's like, so it's nice like to not have there too. Yeah.
It is, but it's sort of like this luxury where I'm like, it's sort of silly. I could just wash like one plate, you know, as I use it instead of anyway. I was just don't buy those pods, man.
No, I use the Cascade pods, Cascade Platinum or Ultimate, whatever that thing is, complete, and those are great. Those are like fantastic.
What's the one with the red little power dot in the middle? It's like a square soap I'm trying to remember. We use it on occasion. I use the automatic dishwasher like once a month, but it's like it has like two types of soap and then has a red power dot.
I don't know.
Supposedly adds the power to the soap.
Right. Crystallized technology. Makes it better, and you can tell because there's a red dot.
And a dishwasher actually uses less water than you would in a sink.
Really?
Well, that depends on how you clean it with it.
That's true. I know is that I've got a dishwasher that I just ran full of dirty dishes. And
do you let yours pile up for like 2 or 3 days and then do it, or do you do it every night? Because I tend to try to do it every night. Like, I'll make dishes. Like, I put my air fryer thing in there every night.
Wait, you make dishes, like, on purpose?
He accumulates dishes that are dirty. I mean, I wouldn't be able to run a dishwasher every night. My gosh. Maybe once, like, a week?
I do it because I put the air fryer in there, and it takes care of all that grease and stuff. Sometimes I stretch it too, but I don't accumulate enough dishes for nightly, but because
I don't either.
That thing is so big, you know, it's kind of cool. Oh yeah, I've seen
finished Super Bowl, supercharged.
Let's see. The finish Powerball.
Finish used to be the finishing stuff, not a cleaner. So that's actually interesting. They came out with soap.
If they gave me a Powerball lottery ticket as well as
fish the are lame. That'd be awesome. Yeah, you won't have to worry about that roof anymore.
I'm worried about it now.
Fish are lame!
I actually, just because, you know, at least some of us will know these people, I remember, as, you know, people ask each other for advice on Facebook and stuff, Colleen Henry at one point was like, dude, why am I washing my dishes and my dishes just aren't being clean after washing them the dishwasher? What the heck? You know, they're clean, but they're not clean. Yeah. And Molly Wood was like, Rinse-Aid.
I've heard
that's what you need.
But
you
the Cascade Complete has it in there. Has a built-in.
And let ever since ask, then, every time I put my Rinse-Aid in there, I think of that conversation.
Let me ask you, do you do any pre-cleaning of the dishes? Like, say you eat a very, like, sticky blueberry pie.
Not anymore.
Would you try to clean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't, because I've heard that the more stuff that's on there, the better the soap will work. It won't activate if you don't have stuff on the dishes.
It won't.
No. I'm dead serious. It needs the stuff to activate.
Activate?
Yeah, it's scientific.
What? Oh, okay.
Because I read it on the internet. It's scientific. Yeah, look it up.
I think it just depends on how good your dishwasher is. Because, I mean, when I was growing up, if we were lucky enough to have a dishwasher in our house, you know, my mom would always be like, you basically clean the entire thing and then you put it in the dishwasher and that's the way it goes.
Yeah,
that's
like
the dishwasher is for sterilization.
But I have friends who were like, yeah, like there's food all over everything. And they're like, no, it'll come out totally clean. Or I'm like, wow.
What is this Fish Are Lame video, Tom?
Oh, when I mentioned Fish Are Lame earlier, it made me go down a rabbit hole to find this video from 2000.
Is that Josh Lawrence?
Actually, I think it's from 2005 or 2004.
No, it's before, because it was before we moved to G4. This is at Townsend.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's before summer of 2004 for sure. Yeah.
Wait, that's you all? Wow.
That's not me, no. But that is Sarah holding the Fish Are Lame sign.
It's true. It's true. It is. I don't remember what we were protesting now.
It was for a video that Josh Lawrence was shooting.
We were doing a comedy sketch show.
Why was I upset about fish?
I think this was part of our San Francisco sketch. But I don't remember for sure.
Wow. I was also wearing a tent of some kind. Hard to know.
Like, is this in the 70s?
It was a different time.
Have we talked to Josh Lawrence lately?
Yeah. It's been a month or two, but yeah, he helps out with Sword and Laser a bunch.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you tell him hello for me. And Clarice.
I will. And Clarice. Yes, Clarice is good.
I always still remember approaching Lane because he was like my web, you know, editor for a lot of my stuff.
Oh, right,
you know,
I'd always
be like, run! I didn't do that web stuff I was supposed to do for you.
Run.
So next time I'm on, we're going to talk about laundry services and if you should send your laundry out to a wash and fold or do it yourself.
That's right, folks. Next time on Point to Point.
And I'll let you in on a little secret. Because I'm Chinese, I have an ancient Chinese secret to share.
Oh,
only you
okay.
get to say that.
Okay.
Yes, only I can say that. See you next time.
All right.
Oh, I thought we were getting the Chinese secret.
No. We are now that we're streaming. We're still recording the audio. Roger, what's the secret?
It was Calgon, basically water softener.
That's kind of disappointing, actually.
Oh,
that's very disappointing.
That's what I said when I found out the secret. It's like, wow, this is all we came up with.
Yeah,
you're right. This is neither ancient nor Chinese.
The best way to get clean clothes is not to dirty the clothes to begin with. It's very, very Confucian.
Is that why you change clothes every 2 hours? You know, you just make sure nothing ever gets dirty.
Well, you know, the whole idea is that eventually they're going to come up with clothes that are kind of self-cleaning, where they just kind of vibrate.
I'm waiting for underwear to be like that.
Why, they just start wearing underwear?
And that's it for this extended edition of Point to Point.
See, I like Point to Point. It's starting to stick.
Yeah, okay, let us know. If you're confused, that's fine, but we would actually like people to say, oh, I like the name, or here's a better one.
Right. Also, if you prefer the drip...
I wouldn't
be mad at you.
We're sorry. We're probably not going to call it that.
I
think zero people liked that.
When you use the name Point to Point, imagine the opening to Heart to Heart.
What's Heart to Heart?
When they
it's
met.
An old 80s show?
It was tech.
Tech news.
Oh.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening and supporting us on Patreon. We will eagerly await your feedback at patreon.com/DTNS.
Take care, guys.